All right. Well, let's get the room started. We welcome everybody to the room today and welcome our special guest couple, Charles and Julia Idemudia. They will be sharing in just a bit. We are going to present the topic briefly. I will do that and then turn it over to them, and then they will share their story with us. We thank God that they recently marked another year in their marriage together, and God has blessed us on this platform with many families, or several I should say, that have many years of marriage that they've celebrated and enjoying together. And so from time to time we would hear their stories. Last time we heard the stories from Sister Esther and her husband, Pastor I.K. And today it's going to be Charles and Sister Julia. But before we get there, I want to say another quick prayer and we'll get to today's lesson. Father, we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity for us all to gather together again for fellowship. Glory to God. Thank you for your thoughts and plans for each of us, and especially families. We know, Lord, that you instituted marriage for a purpose. The Bible says even the Lord set the solitary in families. It's a reason why you set it up. And may every one of us who are in these, plans of God, marriage, let the will of God be fulfilled in our lives, in our marriages. Those who are looking to get married, we pray, Lord, that you would direct them as well into your perfect choice. And we pray that today's room and fellowship and share will be a blessing to everybody. And as always, we know that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding. We declare it to be so. The glory of God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So our topic again today is building successful marriages and families. Well, only God can do that. If God is in the marriage, we know it's headed for success, and the family is also family structure is headed for success. But it takes a lot of work, and we will be hearing from some today who have been through over 30 years of it. Are still going through, and we'll see how the Lord has helped them, and we will hear, some of their, words of wisdom. Praise the Lord. But I do want to point out something before we get into that look, this whole thing about marriage, the way, that, Paul characterizes, he said, look, even though I'm talking about marriage, I am speaking about Christ and his church. So that is the thing that I want us to focus about. The real model for marriage is Christ and the church. So I want to read just a few verses to us out of Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll see what the Lord will share with us from these scriptures. We have been on this series that we were just concluding here on the walking in the Spirit, life in the Spirit, back into the glory, the glorification of the church, and all of that. To look at the glorification of the church in a way, the bride, a bride on her wedding day typifies that. She's always decked out. Even God says, well, can have a bride forget her ornaments and her jewels and so forth. So even God recognizes that, they are decked out like that, to be decked out like that could mean many things. The process of the bride being decked out for the husband and wife is something amazing to look at on that day. But it's beyond that. You know, marriage is beyond the wedding day. Wedding day is the day that the bride's all decked out. And she's the one that gets everybody's attention in that room more than anybody else. Even the groom, you know, the groom is there waiting, but all the attention is on the bride. And she comes down that aisle. But, you know, beyond that wedding day, there is the life ahead. And the life ahead, you know, Paul gives us, even some of the other scriptures too, give us some instructions on how these things should be. But the interesting thing to note is what, you know, what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to just read a few verses here. Wives, he said, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, you know, as unto the Lord. You know, for the husband, and this is Ephesians chapter 5, starting from verse 22. For the husband is the head of the wife, right? And even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So as Christ is the head of the church and the savior of the body, husband is also, you know, the head of his wife and should be everything, you know, to make that wife comfortable. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So we see that sacrificial love from Christ for the church, and the husbands ought to do the same. And the purpose was that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. So Christ is working on us, make us all glorious. The husband also should be the priest, working always on, you know, in the family altar to bring the glory, the beauty out of the wife, you know, like that. Praise the Lord. Now, it says that at the end, he's preparing the church and presenting to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, nor any such thing, but I should be holy and without blemish. So ought men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, citing again what God said from the beginning, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now this next verse is where I'm going. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. But this mystery that Paul is referring to here, even though he's talking about husband and wife, he said, look, I am really talking about Christ and the church. Husband and wife, Christ and the church. Well, if we want to see a perfect model of husband and wife, we should actually look at what the Bible depicts concerning Christ and the church. Christ is the head of the body. But even though Christ is God himself, you know, he doesn't put the bride under his feet, we see that he actually elevates. Now, the church submits to Christ, but Christ elevates the church to his own level. He said, we are seated in heavenly places together in Christ Jesus. We are joint heirs with him. What he owns, we own. Even his glory. He said, the glory I had from with you from the beginning, I have given unto them. I mean, we covered all these things in the just concluded series. And so if we look at that model, that's the way it should be. Whereas the wife will submit to the husband himself will elevate the wife to his side and his level. You know, so the wife is not a second class citizen in the marriage, and she's not inferior. She submits willingly, just like the church does to Christ, and the husband also willingly elevates her, just like Christ does the church. A marriage that, you know, doesn't subscribe to that model will eventually fall apart. You know, if the wife say, well, I can't, you know, I'm not going to submit to this man because he's a son of Belial, you know, well, or the husband says, I can't, you know, really love his wife because she doesn't submit to me. Well, that marriage is going to fall apart. It can't last very long. The principles that are laid out in the Bible for marriage must be followed. We'll have a successful marriage. And many marriages today end in divorce and different things because people don't take time to understand, these things before they go into marriage. Or one party is a victim of the other stubbornness and selfishness. There are many reasons why things don't work. But if we follow the rules and the guidelines that God has given, chances are that we stand on a better footing. However, it takes a lot of work. You will hear it from people who, you know, have been through, you know, several decades of it. They will be sharing their story in a bit. These things take a lot of work. It's not, you know, we can't just, you know, think. I mean, the reason there's so many divorces and things don't work out, many marriages are in trouble, but people are not ready to commit to whatever it takes. And that's it. It's whatever it takes. You know, it's a journey that when you start, there should be no separation. That's it. And so before you get into it, you better take, you know, stock to see if that's the way it's, you know, meant to be. And everyone needs guidance in that, you know. For those who are wanting to get married, you know, when you're looking at somebody that you really like and you're considering them to be that person in your life, it should be a forever thing. And, forever decision like that should not be based on just emotion. God knows what you don't know. We need to seek his guidance, you know. And as I often say, and sometimes jokingly, but, you know, truthfully too, if you marry the right person, well, as a believer, you seek the will of the Lord in everything. And this is a major area of our life. And if you marry that right person, which is the person that God has prescribed to be with you and for you, well, you will both discover the purpose of God together. And you will have a prayer partner and ministry partner too. Now, on the other hand, if you marry the wrong person just because, they look great, you know, you are infatuated with, you know, their looks or something, and we don't take time to seek the, you know, wisdom and knowledge of God, you may end up with what I call a prayer point all your life. So instead of having a prayer partner, you end up with a prayer point because we married the wrong person, you know. So I pray that that's not the situation. And for those of you who are married, the question is, did you marry the right person? That's the question. And if it looks to you like you did not, well, how can you fix it? That's the other question. If the solution is not necessarily, you know, divorce. You know, God hates divorce. You know, tells us that in Malachi. He hates divorce. However, you know, sometimes people find themselves in that situation. But before we get there to the situation where things start falling apart, how do we build the successful marriage in the first place, which will also lead to successful families? So that's the lesson that we're going to be talking about today. The steps, practical tips and steps that we, you know, others have taken in their lives to get to where they are. You know, nobody knows the end from the beginning like God does. And so when you're going, walking down that, you know, when you're walking down the aisle to the altar to meet your husband, the husband waiting for the wife like that, and that's just the beginning. You don't know what's, what lies ahead. So we got to put our complete trust in the Lord for the journey together. We got to know that we are in this thing together for the long haul. That's it. And, you know, can God help us to build successful marriages? The answer is a resounding yes. Can God help us to raise successful families? The answer is a resounding yes. But let's hear, you know, other people's testimonies today. I'm going to keep this segment brief so that we can get on to the Idemudias, because they do have other commitments today. But before I yield to them, I'm going to see if Lady Evan has a few words to say, and then we'll turn it over to our special guest couple today.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good afternoon, everyone. And welcome again to this session of the marriage, building successful marriages and families. And we are very grateful for the couple that is going to speak today. Our dear pastor, brother Idemidua and his wife, Julia. We pray, Lord, that the Lord will speak through them and we'll see good example in their marriage in the name of Jesus. And longevity, we see for 30 years they've been married. Thank God. So, one thing that came to my mind today to share is the foundation. What foundation did you lay before your marriage when you are single, when you are seeking, your life partner? What kind of foundation do you have? What kind of discipline do you have in you? Because this will carry into your marriage and it will affect your decision making, it will affect everything. And having Christ as the foundation of every marriage, you know, Christ as the cornerstone, you know, let me see, Christ as the cornerstone of your marriage. You see, he said in Ephesians 2:20, he said, and we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and so on. Christ, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So Christ has to be the chief cornerstone of your marriage. So we have to base everything on the word of God. We have to do everything accordingly. So if we come in, we believe that we have been saved from, you know, previous lifestyle that we have. Some people come from all kinds of different lifestyle. But when we believe, we put all those things, we're a new creature now. We don't go back to those things that are not, that are contrary to the word of God in our marriage. So we have to make sure that our foundation and the reason why we're getting married, you know, what is the reason why you get married to somebody? You know, what is your motivation? And, you know, if you're doing it for a reason, for this, to get this or to get that, then that marriage is not on a solid foundation. You have to be on your reason has to be the reason why, you know, God put you together. God is the one that puts you together. There should be a revelation between you that you say, ah, this is my wife, this is my husband. And the Lord has to lead you and guide you to that process. So the foundation is very important. So let's have a good foundation. If you're not married yet, have a solid foundation in your lifestyle has to be clean and clear. If you don't know Christ, make sure that all things are passed away. Now all things are become new. That you are pure, You are not living a life of prosperity, promiscuity in your life as a believer. Let it not be once known among us that there is a brother or a sister that is a fornicator, you know, and then they are seeking marriage. So don't be a fornicator and think that your marriage is going to go well. No way. So your foundation is so important. And because you are going to build upon this foundation, when you are married and you come in with all garbages, it's going to show up in your marriage. So that's one thing that I just wanted to share with us today. And as we continue, and also when you are married, you can't just marry and then we hear stories of married people that don't talk to each other in the house. You know, so what kind of marriage is that? You don't talk. You have to have a system of communication between husband and wife on a daily basis. Not that, oh, I don't talk to my husband. I don't see eye to eye with him at home. I don't see eye to eye with my wife. We're in different rooms. Oh, this, I mean, that is not a marriage. You know, you become tenants or something in the same house. You know, so you have to clean that up. And you have to fine-tune your marriage while you're in that marriage. Fine-tune it. Go to couple retreats. Do anything to bring back that desire, that love that you once had for your spouse. You know, that's what made you come together in the first place. So we have to always do things to communicate with your spouse. Make sure the line of communication is open. Make sure everything is going right. We cannot be in the same house and not be talking, and then we say we are married. So who are we deceiving? So we're deceiving ourselves. So some people don't even talk to each other. They appear in the outside, they talk outside, but inside they don't. So what is it? So let us look at all those things and make sure that all these are taken care of to have a successful and show to our children. Our children are watching. They're watching the way we do marriages. They're watching the way we do family. You know, your children are watching you. And some children don't even know, they don't want to get married because they don't see a good example in their parents, especially. So the parents have to show good example to their children, how the marriage works. We have to guide them. We have to let them see from our example that this is how it works. So with all that in mind, I believe that if we have all this foundational setting in order, having Christ as the cornerstone of our marriage and having Christ at the center of it all, having prayer time, having fellowship time with your spouse every day, not just once in a while, every day, and being together into this, be intentional. We are intentionally and love like you mean it. Love your spouse as you mean it. Don't just, you know, say, I love her, and then with your mouth, and then you really don't love her in your heart. So make sure it's right from your heart, not from your mouth. So let's do all these things, and we will see a successful marriage and a successful family. Thank you very much. I will stop here so we can turn over to the couple, the demo dears. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Lady Ebon, for those insightful comments. Yes, we want to make sure they have plenty of time. So at this point, we welcome our brother Charles and Sister Julia Idemudia. We've been told that Sister Julia was having problems with her phone this morning. So if you don't see her on, she's actually on. They're both on Brother Charles's phone. So, you know, that's why you may not see her separately, but they are both here. So we're going to turn it over to Brother Charles and Sister Julia Idemudia at this time. Praise the Lord. You can give us and share your story and tips on how the Lord has helped you thus far, raising a successful, building a successful marriage and raising a successful family. Welcome, Brother Charles and Sister Julia.
Good morning, Pastor and Mommy Ebu. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. It's a great privilege, to be honest with you, to to be able to share tidbits of some of the things that have, that has helped us over the years. Being married 31 years, actually. It was last week we got, you know, 31 years together. And it's really thrilling to, I mean, when I look at everything, I say, wow, 31 years. How did I get here? How did we both get here together? That we are still standing by the grace of God. Praise you, the Lord. Yeah. Every time I joke about it, I always tell my wife, oh, my wife of 32 years. But actually, it's 31 years. The extra 1 year I put on there is always telling me, you got to keep going. One more year, one more year, one more year, you know. And that has helped me a lot to, you know, counting more years with her has really helped me a lot to know that, yes, building a lifestyle, building a home with this precious daughter of Zion that God has given me, it's really, really worth it. A few days ago, I was in the kitchen and the Lord kind of opened my mind to see my life from when I started to where we are today. And He made me to understand that yes, I do really, truly have a help meet for me. The Lord has, I mean, Julia has been a blessing to me. There's no doubt about that. And I tell her too. I make her understand that. But how did we get here though? You know, how did we come to this point that we are celebrating 31 years and then we are talking about marriage, trying to give tidbits of some of the things that we've learned that we picked up on the road? Our background is very simple. We met in church. We fellowshipped together in the same assembly back in Nigeria. And apparently I gave my life to Christ while I was in college. And her older sister was the one that spoke to me about Jesus. And along the line, I gave my life to Christ. Our older sister and I were very, very, very good friends. Very, very good friends. And, you know, a lot of people thought, oh, gee, oh, they're so friendly and they're friends. Maybe this is the one, you know. But the Lord took things in a different turn and led me to meet Julia in church. She will give the story when the time comes, when she speaks, but, we met in church. We had that foundation, you know, grounded in the Word of God. We believed the same thing. The Bible says two cannot walk together except they be agreed. So in that respect, yes, we believe the same thing. We believe the same principles of the Word of God. We believe in Jesus. We believe, you know, the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ as the scripture has put it. So that has helped us. Oh, that's one thing that has helped us over the years. Our foundation has always been in the Lord. Matthew 7. I'll read a little bit of Matthew 7, verse 24. I'll just read that scripture. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth this thing, these sayings of mine, and doeth them, says, I will liken him unto a wise man, which builds his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Why? Because it was founded upon the rock. So that, for me, and for us, is our background. We believe the Lord. We trusted the Word of God. We are standing on the rock. We've had so many challenges in life, but we are still standing because we built our home upon the rock, and that is our foundation. Praise ye the Lord. So that, talking about the foundation, and Pastor, you asked a question in when you're giving your summary, when you're giving your analysis, and I made a note. I said, you said, did you marry the right person? You know, when I look back and I, you know, count my blessings and name them one by one, I will say, yes, I married the right person. 100%. And this is not, you know, trying to paint a picture, you know, trying to, you know, give an impression. No. 100%. I married the right person. Because I know that when I was looking for a woman to get married, about 5-something years ago, the Lord led me. The steps, you know, Bible says the steps of a righteous man, so they are ordered by the Lord. When it came to this point of marriage, because for young men like us those days, it was a challenge. There were sisters in church. There were beautiful sisters in church. There were spiritual sisters in church. And, you know, sisters that we felt, oh, gee, you can't go near this one. Oh, she's too spiritual. You know, things like that. There's so many of them around there at the time. But to be honest with you, when it came to time, began to pray, began to ask God questions as to the direction to go, I would say 100%, every step of the way, the Lord led me to where, to, you know, to meet my spouse and where we are, and we are here today. It is a testimony. I would, honestly speaking, it is a testimony, and I would say 100%, I married right. Now, were there challenges in the way? Obviously. There's no marriage that is perfect. But we have learned over the years, you know how to navigate this journey rightly and how to live and respect one another. Praise you the Lord. So again, that is our background, our foundation. We met in church, and as much as possible, when we're growing up, when we're in our courtship, we tried as much as possible to live right and to do right. Now, I am a theater person. I read theater in school. I read drama. And I was teaching drama at a particular company. And when we met, I told her, hey, I'm a drama person. This is what I want to do and all that and all that. But she looked at the whole picture. And that's one of the blessings I have, because Julia has foresight. She looked at the whole picture and she said, if I'm going to marry this young man, I don't think this drama thing will work. I don't think this drama, this theater, you know, you do theater all over the place. In those days, theater was not popular, you know, there was no money in theater basically. So she looked at the whole situation and said, I don't think this theater thing will work. If we are going to build a home and build a family and all that and all that. And so she took the initiative to talk to her friends. She knew one or two friends, you know, very close friends, to talk to them about my situation and my condition. And she came up with a plan. And she said, I think you should apply for this particular job. And okay, I applied for the job. By the grace of God, I got the job. And I left my theater company to go work for the airlines. I used ADC Airlines those days when ADC was ADC. And as, you know, God is so good in the sense that when I left that job to go take on this new job, that created the door, open door of blessings, of goodness, you know, of the things that God had already planned for me in my life. I never knew. Hindsight now, when I look back, I say, oh my goodness, that was just the Lord himself orchestrating my steps. So I got this job in ADC, fantastic pay, good money. My goodness, we enjoyed it for 4 good years before the airline went down. And as God will have it, when I left my job to take upon ADC Airlines, my theater director, again, this is God orchestrating my life with Julia. My theater director, all of a sudden from nowhere, I had left his job. I had left him, went to study with ADC. My theater director called me out of the blues and said, hey, Charles, I had resigned. I would want you to represent us in the United States. That was the first step. I would like you to please come. We're going to get to visa, get to everything, and you're going to go represent us, represent this company in the United States for an exchange program. That's, again, a blessing from the Lord. I never knew that come many years later, we'll both find ourselves in the United Kingdom, in the United States, living and working together. The Lord has ordered our steps aright. I did that. I came to the United States in 94, did all that, went back to Nigeria. And when I got to Nigeria to go back to this new job, I was posted to Calabar, another state. So again, we were separated. I stayed there for at least, I think about a year or so, or a year plus, before I finally came back to Lagos. And when I finally came back to Lagos, we started planning to get married and, you know, do the wedding proper. So the Lord has always been our guide, always ordered our steps. All right. So that's the background. That's the general foundation of what we have, you know, had together as husband and wife, in our marriage. I want to, at this point, allow Julia to say one or two things in terms of our foundation and background.
Okay.
Yeah, just give me 1 minute.
Okay. Good morning, sir. Good morning, ma. Good morning, brethren in the room. God bless you all. Good afternoon for those in the afternoon. I expected my husband to talk for longer. But anyway, maybe we'll talk back and forth because, first and foremost, I would like to honor the Lord and give him praise. We will not be here talking about 31 years of marriage if not for the Lord. I want to acknowledge him and give him praise because, looking back, it can only be God. Talking about foundation, I'm going to speak from my own perspective because that's what I know. First and foremost, just like my husband said, I became a Christian 1986. By the grace of God, my uncle ministered the gospel to me, and God in his mercy gave me salvation. I got a gift that I never knew existed. Salvation, the accepting Christ into my life and becoming a Christian, the best thing that has ever happened to me. In fact, I became, you know, just fell in love with Jesus Christ. And from that 1986 to 1995, we got married in 1995. I just lived and loved the Lord. That was my thing. It was like the Yoruba people would say, "Oni omodero yin o sakara no." When I got salvation, I just could not believe the joy, the peace, the scriptures, being in the midst of the brethren. It was just the best thing that has ever happened to me. And even till now, it's the best thing. You know, I just love the Lord. The one thing that Dad did to me, before then, you know, we come from background that had 40 marriages. Actually, as a child, I became a Christian at 18. I was 18. And before then, you know, I saw my parents' marriage fail, fightings and this and that. Watched around, looked around. And in my family, there were few successful marriages. I could name Sister Fumi Fun and Brabasi, Bratok Shokoya and his wife. And I looked when I became a Christian, I said, there is something about this Christianity that is making a difference because I recognized that in my family, the people that really had successful marriages were the Christian people, these SU born again people. So when I came into Christ and, you know, I started growing up and it started getting to that time, a lot of my friends, sister friends were getting married. So, it's time to start talking to God about this. I started praying. And one thing I told the Lord, I said, this marriage thing, I will not do it unless you say so. I was determined in my heart that I would only do the will of God. And this I want to share with people that are, you know, trusting God, looking unto God for marriage. I think the foundation is super important. How you got the man, how, you know, where you put the Lord in the relationship. I was a single girl and I told God many times, I will not move an inch. It was like Moses saying, if you don't go with me, we're not going. If your glory don't go with me, we're not going. And that was how I felt. I was not going to compromise on marriage. I did not want to have a failed marriage. I did not want to be one of those that, you know, will end up in divorce. And I said, God, unless you lead me, I will not go. I remember a lot of young sisters were getting married. Sister Titilai, one of them, got married December 1994. And, you know, I was like, huh, God, when is it going to be my turn? Praying and trusting God. One thing I'll say, when you are in that situation, many temptations will come. This brother, that brother, lookalikes will come. And God also will test us. Is this person really serious about wanting my will, or she wants her will? I remember very clearly, you know, many different brothers, good brothers, you know, good brothers, good brethren, coming to say, oh, I like you. I want to get married to you. And for me, that was great honor. But I always told them, let me go and seek the face of God. And sometimes I prayed and God said, no, that's not the angle you're going. And I'll go back and say, thank you very much, bro. But God, I don't think that's the direction God is leading me. Actually, my now husband, was always, out to school. I mean, he was not really in Lagos Fellowship. They were back and forth. We'll be back, gone to Ife. And he was a brother. I mean, my first, relationship with my husband was as a brother in the Lord. He was a Christian brother. He was with the Ife brethren, Brother Leke, Brother Charles, my sister Irene, and many of them from the University of Ife. Then there was a revival, a small revival then at the time that brought a lot of them. And my husband was just a brother. Actually, just like he said, he was very close to my older sister. And people just assumed, oh, these people could end up getting married because they were close friends, you know. But when it was time, I started seeking the face of God and I started, you know, seeing things like, whoa, what is this? Step by step, just like my husband testified, just step by step. And it came to a point that there was no doubt that this is the Lord speaking. In fact, for me, by the time my husband finally came to say, this and that, I already knew. In fact, the evening, there was a particular day I was praying that morning. I was still living with my mother at the time. And I asked God again. And God said to me, he said, Buki, I have told you. And when that young man comes, you better not waste his time. God had spoken to me by word. He had spoken to me by vision. And that morning I went back and said, oh God, you know, Lord, concerning this matter. And I started praying again. And he said, but I've told you. As at that time, my husband had not even said a word to me. But God in his mercy had revealed to me. And I asked him that day. I still remember clearly, I was kneeling down in my bedroom. I said, Lord, if this thing you're saying is really so, please pardon me, but I want you to do something. That man you are saying, today, let him come to this house. And for whatever reason, I mean, it was a crazy thing to ask, to be honest. Looking back now, my brother Charles at that time, I don't even know if he knew my mother's house. I think he had been there once. I had a small birthday get together, and I think he came with the brethren to celebrate with me at the time. But that was a while back, maybe a year or two before this time I was talking. But I just asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I just want to be super sure. This is your voice I'm hearing. Let him find his way to this place. It was the craziest thing. I don't know how that thought came, but it did come. You know, I finished praying and my mom sent me on an errand. I went. To my amazement, I was coming back from there. I had forgotten, you know, just coming as my mom saw me from the bus stop. And she said, Tom, hurry up. You have a visitor. And when she said that, I didn't even know. At that time, I had many friends, Brad Benji, Woye, Brad John, Okafor. I had a lot of Leke Oteju brethren, brothers that would come, we'll pray together, we'll go evangelism together. So I didn't even remember my prayer, to be honest. And I came into the house and look at Brad Charles sitting in the corner in my mother's living room. I was shocked. I said, oh my God. And then he just, you know, came and said, oh, we're having a theater presentation at the National Theater. I came to invite you to see if you'll be interested. And at that time, the Holy Spirit said in my heart, and you better not waste his time. It was that evening, if I remember correctly, we went to the National Theater together and my husband made his intention known. I had already been prepared. You know, why am I saying all this? The foundation is important. I'm not saying. God has shown, you know, that there are different ways couple meet. The last time we heard about Sister Esther and Raike, we've heard about Pastor and his wife. And I've seen marriages, people met online on the internet, people met through somebody else, somebody told somebody about. I've seen different ways that people meet their spouses. But what I'm trying to say here is it is important to let the Lord lead. We are learning about being led by the Spirit. I think in every aspect of our lives, this is important, including marriage. For me, marriage is such an important step in life. It's, you know, it's as important as our salvation because I've seen marriages work or not because of who they married and how people got married. From the time I gave my life to Jesus till when the Lord gave me a husband, I stayed true to the Lord. Stayed true to his word, you know, just doing what I've learned over the years. I saw sisters in the church, beautiful marriages, and I always told God, I love what I see. Please give me one of these. I remember a particular sister Justina Woye. She used to testify, you know, and she told me, she said, Buki, don't compromise in your marriage. The Lord still leads and the Lord still speaks. You just have to be patient. Because, you know, I was getting, at that time, I got married at 27. But sisters were getting married at 21, 22. I remember. I was chief bridesmaid to many, many marriages. And one day I came out, it was somebody's wedding and I was chief bridesmaid again. And his sister said to me, you again? When is it going to be your turn? You're always following them. You're the one following them. When are you yourself going to get married? And my heart sank that day. And you know, after that sister's marriage, I went home, I went on my knees and I cried. I said, Lord, did you hear her? When is it going to be my turn? I cried to the Lord and the Lord heard me. So for those waiting, for those trusting, The Lord still answers prayers, I would say. And the Lord still leads. He led us, and that is our foundation. My husband has his own side of the story about how God told him, this is your wife. But by the time we finally said, yes, we're going to do this, we were, like he said, 100% sure. In fact, I remember one of the days we went to his job. We always had time to fast and pray together. And we were praying one of the days. And the confirmation came. The Lord started speaking to us, you know, about future, his blessings. Whosoever finds a wife finds a good thing. So we served the Lord from the beginning of our marriage. It was joyful. It was beautiful. The beginning, so sweet. Praying together, doing things together, up until the marriage. We honored the Lord. I remember our marriage was fixed for September. I don't know if my husband will remember this. Our marriage was fixed for September. We got married in 1995, April 22nd. Our traditional was April 21st. Initially, our marriage was fixed for September. And as we went on, I remember many, many nights, my husband would come from work, come to my job, or I go to his. You stay together, we prayed, we'll talk. And then we started feeling, the way this thing is going, we better watch it. And one of the days, you know, I went to my mom and I said, Mom, I don't think we can have this marriage in September. Is it possible to move it, you know, sooner? We really don't want to do wrong by God. I don't want to have to apologize and say, oh God, we messed up. I said, Mom, we don't have to have all the funfair. Let's just have this marriage. And my mom, you know, mature woman, she agreed. She said, okay, you know, whatever we can come up with, whatever we can do, we move the marriage to April so that we can marry quickly before things start happening. The foundation is important. Today we're standing here 31 years after. It can only be God. It has been God. Has it been perfect? No. But we defer to the Bible. The Bible, our marriage manual. I can say that for a fact. When things go wrong, we defer to the scriptures. What does the scripture say to do? How does the scripture say to handle this? And both of us will agree. This is the direction we're going to go. For me, one of the things, if I can go on, or honey, you want to speak about foundation? Okay. One of the things for me is whenever there was a controversy, you know, I said, what does the scripture say to do on this matter? And we look at it together. We say, okay, this is what the Bible says. This is what we're going to do. I want to say by the grace of God, yes. Am I with the right partner? Yes. Did I marry a prayer partner? Yes. There is no day will pass for these 31 years. Even if it's just a quick 5-10 minutes, we pray together. We talk. We make sure that this marriage, a good marriage does not just happen. A good marriage is intentional. You have to be determined to make your marriage work. And we have to give it what it takes to work. You have to put in the work so that marriage can succeed. Yes, there are stages in marriage. I don't know if I can go on, honey. Okay, I will say this and then I would give the mic to you. You know, stages, the honeymoon stage in the beginning. Everything is hunky-dory, sweet, and, you know, God gives us that to lay the bed for the marriage. You get to know each other, you know, you've been from different backgrounds. You're trying to, you know, come together and fine-tune your own home. The early stages, I said the first 5-10 years, you're building. And then, you know, the children start to come. Here and there, ups and downs, take children to sports, do this for us. We had the relocation, which was another big step. We had to relocate to the United States in the middle of a trying to figure things out. We come here. What is going on in this country? You know, start careers all over again. You go through that stage. And then we're entering the stage of empty nesting, children all gone, and then trying to. So if you were never friends, if you were never partners, if you never communicated, I think this later stage could really suck, if I can use the American language, really be hard if you never had a good relationship. But for us, I say the Lord has made it a really smooth sail for us. Beautiful, beautiful relationship. My husband, I think I said it before, God gave me one of the best men he had. I think he heard my cry. I prayed so much, heaven heard. Gave me one of the most patient, loving, selfless man that was available to him at the time. And I thank God Almighty for that. Yes, the differences also. You know, God puts hot and cold together. He puts quiet and talkative together so that you can complement each other. If you can really look at the gifts in both of you. You know, my husband is one that if you left him alone, he'll wear one t-shirt, one jean, and one shoe all his life. If you left him alone, he will live in one bedroom apartment, have two clothes, his Bible, his scroll book, and he was fine. Myself on the other side, you know, God, I was raised differently. There were the little flamboyance and, you know, we had to do this, we have to do that. And my husband has learned to look at that as a compliment. There was no argument. Who's going to dress who? When there's a wedding, he just defers to me. Oh, you handle that. And whatever I present, he'll wear. When it comes to decision making, you know, I could have an opinion. And he has, as gentle as it may seem, he puts his foot down. Nope, I'm not doing that. Nope, this is what we're going to do. And I could present my case and say, hey, I think we should do this instead. But sometimes my husband says, nope, I think this is what we should do. Okay, you're the boss. That's what we're going to do. Many times he'll concede. Okay, let me think about what you said, you know, but as we read this morning, Pastor read that in Ephesians 5:22, the husband is the head of the home. But he also said, submitting one to another. And these are some of the principles we've put to work in our home. I could talk the whole time, but now I'm going to defer so that my husband can also contribute. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Julia. Piggyback on the things that my wife has said. One of the things that has always benefited us in this home is to have an understanding of our roles and responsibilities in this marriage. Without that understanding, you know, you can't have, you know, two captains running a ship. It will sink. Definitely. So understanding your role and your responsibility is important. My wife, Julia, is very gifted. And I've come to that understanding when her gifting begins to manifest itself. I recognize that and I yield. You know, I just let her do her thing, let her prosper in that gifting. I'll give you an example. We moved from our old house to a brand new house. And, in the process of getting this new house together, out of all the things that I wanted, In this house we just got, I just simply wanted a particular kind of bathroom. That's all I wanted. Right? But I let Julia, my wife, pick the design, do this, do that, the aesthetics about the home, what we need here, what we need there, things like that, because that's her gift. She's good at that. She's very good at picking colors. She knows how to, you know, set the house right and things like that. But when it comes to me, I'm like you said before. I mean, I'm good with just my one room and parlor right there. I'm fine, you know. But I learned that she's very good at these things. And the Bible says the blessings of the Lord. It says it maketh rich and it does not add sorrow. So if Julia is a blessing to me, then she will make me rich. She will not add sorrow. So I allow her, you know, excel in those giftings that God has put in her. And her strengths, her strong suits, I let her, like I said, flourish in those areas. Another thing that has helped us greatly in this marriage for 31 years is our ability to be able to communicate effectively. By that I mean listening, active listening to one another. I come from a background of theater. And in theater, when you're playing your role as, say, an actor, you have to have the ability to listen to the cues of the next person before you say your own lines. So those principles, those, you know, the ability to do that in theater has helped me a lot in my marriage. When she's speaking, I'm quiet. I'm listening intently to the things that she's saying. Most times she comes from work. She's tired. She's exhausted. She wants to let out the steam, you know. And I will just quietly listen. Not a word will I say until she has finished emptying her chest. In terms of, for example, all the struggles and all the worries and all the anxiety she went through at work for the day. Now when she has finished, I'll say, okay, did you do this? Did you do that? Okay. Look at it this way. Don't you think you could have done this better? How about this direction? You know, so that has always helped us. Now another area I want to talk about is in terms of argument. When we have argument, obviously marriage is, I mean, like I said, there's no marriage that's perfect. There are times you have arguments. There are times you have splurts here and there. And I realized that when she's speaking, you know, like she's, you know, she's hot, she's speaking fire and speaking brimstone, whatever you want to call it, I'll just shut up. I'll just keep quiet and let her rant. And when she's finished ranting, at the end of the day, we look at her and say, what was all that necessary? It wasn't necessary. So we apologize to one another and life continues. So the Lord has been good to us in terms of learning to communicate and making sure that, you know, we say the right things, we do the right things. Sometimes when I'm going hot and trying to, you know, be a little bit stubborn, I use the word stubborn because that's the only way I can describe it, you know. When I'm trying to be stubborn and not wanting to do some, the Lord will speak to me. I know it. Many times, many, many times when I'm being stubborn in certain things, the Lord will come and speak to me and say, look, don't you think you should just listen to her? You know? And I'll just go to her and say, honey, okay, I think we should go ahead and, yeah, let's do it your way. Let's do it the way you want us to do it. I think that'll be the best thing to do. Again, my wife is gifted. Many times when we put our hands in project, she has already seen the things ahead, far ahead. I will just be starting, coming to terms with it. Because I'm the kind of person that want to hear from the Lord. Make sure, I hear correctly. Make sure that it is the right thing to do before I do it. But God will have spoken to Julia, and Julia has already gone out. She's far ahead of me already deciding, you know, planning and deciding what needs to be done. By the time I'm getting there, oh, too late, honey. You already decided, I already know what to do here. You know, and then by the time we agree, we see what God, you know, God does great things for us in that perspective. Praise you, the Lord. All right, I will defer to Julia at this time.
Okay, thank you, sir. One area I want to talk about, is the area of forgiveness and maintaining peace in the home. You know, he talked about arguments and stuff. I remember, before I got married, actually, one of the times and days I was praying to God about a spouse. I remember the first few times I said, oh Lord, this and that. And God said, marriage, you're not ready. I was single then. You're not ready. I said, no, I'm not ready. How do you mean, God? He said, oh, you have to go through my school. I'm not going to give any son of mine to you until I teach you some things. I was having my meditation and quiet time, and this was what came. I said, your school? Okay. And the Lord took me through a journey. This is my personal testimony. As a single woman, I remember when Sister Esther and Bryke were talking, they talked about reading certain books. I always say this. The Lord took me through his school. Because, like I said, I came from a background that was not Christian. I saw nastiness with marriages in my family. So the Lord, in his mercy, taught me certain things. I read books. I went to teachings. I listened to teachings. I had good mentors. I saw examples. One of the few things, it was in one of the books I read. I think it was a Walter Trubbish book. Bryke mentioned Walter Trubbish the day they were talking. And I say, yes, I read all the series of the book. That was part of my training. The Lord took me through. And one of the things said in the book I want to share is to have a successful marriage, you have to be an awful forgiver. I can never forget that. That was part of my takeaways. An awful forgiver. There is a saying, it's not in the scripture, but it was a saying that I learned a long time ago. It says, love is never having to say you are sorry. What does that mean? Before the next person even says sorry, and this applies to us even as Christians, brethren, love is never having to say you're sorry. You are forgiven before you say you're sorry. As we are in this relationship, in this home, I mean, things will happen. My husband says something and, you know, it didn't sit right with me. I'm hurt. Very, very quickly in my heart, I start making excuses for him. Oh, maybe he didn't mean it. You know, he's tired. That's why he probably said that. Okay. I already determined in my heart to forgive that act. The same with one another. You know, we're talking about walking in the spirit, living in the spirit, not bearing a grudge, not allowing. There's a scripture that says, don't let your anger, you know, go on to the next day. And this is one principle we apply. When he hurts me, I already forgave him. Sometimes we're angry and, you know, for a moment, 1 hour or two, there's silence. And then before you know it, the next person say, oh, I always, most of the time, are you going to start, keep being angry? Okay, I've cooked some delicious food, come and eat. And he's like, I don't want to eat. You're going to eat. Before you know it, I'm tickling him. I'm tickling him. Because I don't want that disruption of our peace. I don't want the silence. If we're silent, then we can't pray. If we're silent, then we can't. And these are the tactics of the enemy. So whenever there is a problem, if it's not me saying sorry, before you know it, my husband comes and says, let's pray. I'm not praying with you. Come now, let's pray. I'm not praying with you. And then we start laughing. We start laughing. I say, you need to apologize. And he'll say, you too, you need to apologize. Then we start laughing. And before you know it, we resolve the matter. Be an awful forgiver. If you cannot forgive, you cannot stay in a good marriage. We let it out. We talk about it. We figure it out. We move on. We really don't harbor things in this home. Sometimes it's in the morning. We're going to go to church or we're going to go out. And I say, are we going to go out mad? Are we going to go out angry? Sir, come, let's figure this thing out. I don't want to talk to you.
I'm like, you're going to talk to me. We're going to sort this thing out. And before you know it, you know, we resolve it. We resolve it. Sometimes we have to bring the Bible down. And my husband say, why did you say that? Why did you tell that person that? Okay. Yes, sir. And we resolve it. We pray. If we need to pray, even as regards our children, I'm going to talk about, you know, the aspect of raising children a little bit, because I don't think we've talked about that. By the grace of God, we're blessed with two beautiful daughters. We have adult children, believe it or not. And I look back and I say, how did that even happen? Where did time go? You know, we raised actually three daughters in this house because my niece, who is like our first daughter, was raised in this house. She came to us at age 13 when I lost my older sister, and she became one of our children. And by the grace of God, mommy gave us two little boys, so we have two grandchildren, if you can say that. And we had raised these three girls and these two little boys by the grace of God. You know, talking about family, let me go there a little bit, because we haven't talked about that. Raising the girls, we, without even discussing it, you know, had our roles. The children themselves recognized that. When they had to talk about certain things, they went to daddy. And when they had to talk about certain things, they went to mommy. But they also know you can manipulate dad or you can manipulate mom to have your way. These people are one. And I've heard pastor and his wife testify about that before. I said, wow, you know, this is something God does, the wisdom that God gives. When daddy says no, you can't go to mommy and get a yes. It's not going to happen. The first thing I say, what did your daddy say? And they say, oh, daddy said to ask you. I said, oh, daddy said to ask me. Then let me go ask daddy. We never really would say, oh, daddy says you can go and mommy says you can't go. If I feel otherwise, I go to him and say, honey, these children, you know, can they just do this or that? And sometimes he'll say, no, I don't want them to have a sleepover. They're not going, like the sleepover was a thing. Our kids never were allowed to go sleep in somebody else's house. Like, nope. They're not going. I don't know what they're doing in that home. I don't feel comfortable. And I tell the kids, sorry, your daddy says you can't have a sleepover, but maybe you can go and come back at so-so time. We were united. We spoke with one voice most of the time in raising the children. The children have grown to know this. They saw, you know, oneness in the home. They saw peace in the home. They saw, you know, this, there's something about this Christianity. And our children today, they're like, mom and dad, we're not going to marry. My daughter, one daughter says, until God gives me a man like my dad, I'm not doing it. I said, well, you know, a man like your dad is not commonplace. You have to hold God tight. You have to be serious. And yes, she said, mom, I'm not moving an inch until God gives me his choice, because I see how you people have lived and this is what I want for my life. Both of them, actually. So we just give God praise. We give him glory. We have nobody to give this a praise to than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the reason we're here today, 31 years. I will defer to my husband at this point.
Praise you, the Lord. I know time is almost fast spent, in this, discussions. But I want to say something here, and probably round up, as we go along. One thing that is paramount that I've discovered living with Julia 31 years is to learn to sacrifice. If you can't sacrifice, if we can't sacrifice for one another, there's no point. I know that the Bible teaches us and tells us that let each one esteem the other better than himself. As a man, I have my role, and as a woman, she has a role. But we have to learn to sacrifice for one another. Praise you, the Lord. Jesus Christ sacrificed for us. He says he gave his life for us. Am I able to give my life for my wife? And that's where the love comes in. If I'm able to sacrifice a lot for my family, for my wife, that's where the love comes in. You know, I gave up a lot of things. I know, and she knows too, that I have given up a lot of things for my wife, my children, to be successful in what they are, where they are today, what they are doing today. You know, that's important. Sacrifice. It doesn't matter. There's no egotism in marriage. I cannot allow ego, you know, to take over my home or my marriage because I'm the man. Therefore, I must be this. I must do this. I must do that. No, you have to bow down to me. No, you know, God has taught me that many years. And in fact, he dealt with me when it comes to pride and ego, you know, and, I have learned, you know, to condescend to her, condescend, let her be, let her excel, let her be whatever she wants to be, let, you know, support her, give her the opportunity, give her the tools to succeed. You know, if I don't give her the tools to succeed, she's not going to succeed and I'm going to be affected by it also. You know, because the blessings of the Lord, it says, make it rich. It does not add sorrow. I don't want sorrow in my home. Therefore, I give for my wife, for my children to be successful. I would leave that there as it were. Honey, you want to give the last word? Yeah, go ahead. Give the last word.
Well, you went to the topic on sacrifice. And yes, if there's anything my husband has not achieved, it is because he led us. I remember when the children were younger, you know, our first daughter played sports. And every weekend they were gone. Different states, Nevada today, California tomorrow. My husband took her all over the place. Sometimes I went, sometimes I couldn't go. He was with Jemima everywhere. Games, practices, picking from school. He sacrificed his life, in fact. Talking about Christ and the church. Yes. The sacrifice that Jesus Christ gave. That is an example for us. In, you know, God gave that example, and as Paul was liking Christ to the church, that is how it's supposed to be. In fact, our home is the first church. That is how I view it. Your home is your first church. There's no point, for you to go to church when your home is in trouble. The home is the first church. So we know that my husband has given his life for this family. For me, for the children, you know, I was testifying the other day from January to April. I was going through really, really rough times. I'll come home. He doesn't say, oh, I'm the man. You're supposed to serve me food and this and that. No. Some days I come home. He's, you know, using rub to rub my shoulder, rub my back. Are you okay? Cooks when he can, cooks what he can, just to make sure. And the same he does for the children. Before they call, oh, dad, my car broke down. My husband leaves everything, leaves his job, everything. He's there. He's the priest of the home. Taught them the word. I remember when they were growing up, my children was like, is there anything else we do in this house than go to church and go to school? And we said, well, that's all we do here. We go to church, we go to house fellowship, we go to school, you know. And they're like, yeah, but don't you guys do something? And yeah, we took them on trips, we took them on vacation, but we made them realize without Christ, you are nothing. We taught them the Bible. We led them in the way of the Lord. We did our best raising them. And I remember, yeah, when Jemima went to college, came back, it's like, this Jesus thing, you know, I need to look at it for myself. This thing you are ramming in our head, ramming in our head. I just want to find God for myself. I said, okay, you want to find God for yourself? Okay. Kept praying. There is no day here that we do not, you know, hold hands and pray for our children, pray for the family, pray for families, pray for our brethren, and God has answered us. Because today, these children are on their own, doing their own thing, serving God in their own capacity every morning. You know, recently, one of them came up with, you know, we have a family forum where we talk. And one of them said, you know, I think we should, I think it was Daddy that said that. We should, on this, our forum, share some scriptures and, you know, share a scripture. You share a scripture today. The next person shares a scripture and we talk about, you know, what we have gained and what we're gaining. What is God saying? These are ways, you know, things we do to keep, you know, the family going. The children know. They come to us now for advice. Mom, I'm trying to do this. I remember recently Jewel was applying to jobs and, you know, trying to change her job. She presented it to us and said, can you please pray? You know, this and this and this and these are things I'm doing. So God has really helped us. You know, we're not there yet, but we thank God how he has helped us thus far. I don't know if talking about final word, I don't know if there's a final word, but these are just little things here and there of how the Lord has helped us thus far. There are things to work on. Even this 31st year, my husband planned a date and we went. And while we were out there, you know, we talked a lot about moving forward. We came up with things, plans, and things we need to work on. I asked him. I said, what have you enjoyed in this marriage? What is working? And he told me. And then I said, what is not working? What would you have, you know, better? And he told me. And I said, okay, I'm going to work. I noted all the things he talked about. And I said, yeah, we're going to work on that. And then he asked me the same. And I told him, and we're working on those things. So, in a nutshell, I would say a good marriage just doesn't happen. A good marriage happens intentionally, starting from the foundation with God. And then every day building on that foundation. The Bible says, and, it's Psalm 127:11. That scripture says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain and build it. Except the Lord build the city, the workman watcheth, but in vain. This is one of my scriptures. Also, when I remember one of the days I was seeking the Lord about my marriage, God took me to Proverbs 31 many, many times. I read that scripture, tore it in pieces. One of my takeaway, and I promised the Lord, that time I was single, Proverbs 31:12. It says in Amplified, says she comforts and encourages him and does him only good and not evil all the days of her life. I remember reading that scripture and I said, this is who I'm going to be. I'm going to comfort, I'm going to encourage, and I'm going to do my husband good all the days of my life. I had not even met my husband at the time. But that was a determination I had. When I went into my marriage, I did not go in there thinking, oh, if it works, fine. If it doesn't, fine. No. I went there knowing, first, this marriage will work because God is in it. And whatever kinks there are, it will be fixed. And we're still working on the kings, trusting God. With God in that triangle, there is success. It says a 3-4 cord is not easily broken. And this 3-4 cord, ourselves and God as the head of this family, of this home, it has been great. I can testify and say God has blessed us with a good marriage, and all the glory and all the honor and all the praise goes back to him, the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise ye the Lord. Dad, I'll let you.
Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Thank you, Julia. Yes, before I hand over the mic to our dear Pastor Yato and Mommy Abu, I want to say this, that I would say we went into marriage by faith. We went into marriage by faith, not knowing what would come of it. But we had the word of God. We had the revelation of the Lord. We had the strong suit, the foundation. Because every time we have a problem, I always go back to the reference point. And the reference point is the Lord himself. I say, Lord, when we started, oh, you are the one that showed me this woman, or you are the one that told me, oh, you know. So that has always been the thing that has kept us going. We went into marriage by faith. Without faith, it is impossible, impossible to please God. Praise ye the Lord. I will yield my mic at this time to Pastor and Mommy Ebu. God bless you all. Thanks for listening. I know it's been some time, you know, long time talking and all that, sharing tidbits here and there. But in all, we give all the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God bless you. Thank you. I yield my mic.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Charles and Sister Julia. Wonderful testimony of a good marriage and all that it takes to have a good family, a good raising children, and also the foundation. You have told us the foundation. Jesus is your foundation. We thank God for your life. Thank you so much for taking the time. We appreciate you for the short notice that you have, that you were able to come in and talk to us. Thank you so much and share with us. God bless you. We appreciate it. We enjoy it. And this will help everyone that you see that what they are saying, you know, is true in every cases, you know, that Christ, you have to have Christ in the center of your marriage. You have to have where to go back to. Go back to the drawing board. The drawing board is in Christ Jesus. Go back in there, pray together, all those things that they have told us. And it's not just the beginning, you know, the beginning, the middle, and everything. You just keep going. As long as you have the Lord on your side and sharing responsibilities, and you know, you can see that each marriage is different. You know, this one may be going to school, and the other person have to be the support system. And one may be at home. Maybe, I mean, whatever situation that you are in, that's why you cannot compare your marriage to somebody else's. And say, ah, look at that person. She's always doing that. Her husband is always doing. What if your own husband is always working, and her husband, you know, has the time to help or whatever? So you cannot compare your marriage to anyone. As long as the Lord is leading you in your own marriage and helping you to cope, you know, every marriage is different. They are all you today. You might be the one that makes more money than your the wife might be the one that makes more money than the husband, or it could be the husband that makes more money than the wife, you know. And all these things are different. Should we at that time say, oh, I'm going to get a divorce because my husband is not making as much money, or because my wife is not doing this or that? No, that should not be the reason. What you should do is stay in there and fix the problem. Stay in there and see how you can fix your problem, not how you can destroy it. Because you don't know where you can go from fire pan to fire. You say, okay, I'm going to go to another marriage. What's going to happen there? Maybe that one is even going to be worse than, you know, just like Sister Julia said, I came from a background of, and I saw the failure of marriages. You know, my family, they always say that, wow, you guys, you are by one of the only successful marriage in our midst. You know, many of them, their marriage has, they've married for some time, they have separated, they have divorced, they have done this and that. But because of the Lord, just this glory and the honor goes to Him that has kept us together through thing and thing. And that's what I'm hearing from my sister and my brother. The Lord has kept them together. That brought them together. He also kept them, gave them the tools, you know, encouraged them along the way as they're going. So we thank God for your shares, for your testimony of your marriage of 31 years and going and keeping strong. And you can't sit down now and say, oh, we're 31 now, we're done. No, you keep going every day. You are intentional about your everyday move. You know, your marriage is very important. It's worth fighting for. For the children's health sake, it's worth fighting for. For everything, you need to stay and groom your marriage to go into counseling, do everything you can do to help your marriage to grow. And don't have an exit plan. If you already have an exit plan, then it's not going to help. Everything they're telling you is going to be falling on deaf ears because you're not listening. Because you already have your plan that you want to do. You already have a second plan or something. So if you are getting married, make sure you have a strong foundation to build on. A very strong. You hear that, you know, instead of my brother and sister waiting to their day of their September, they got married in April because they didn't want anything to go wrong. And when you do that, it helps in your marriage too. You know, I can say by the will of God, yes, that we, even though I've had some friends here and there, you know, the Lord kept me for my marriage. The Lord can keep you till your marriage. If you're single, the Lord can keep you. You don't have to use anything to keep yourself. The Lord will help you keep your body and keep your spirit serving Him. And when you are in dating, if you are serving the Lord, the enemy cannot come through. Because the two of you, you're serving the Lord, our brother and sister's testimony, they met in the church, right? They found themselves serving the Lord. You know, we also met in the church. We met in it and in it. And then we continue in that fellowship with the Lord. And the Lord's telling us what is right, what is wrong. Don't go into sin. And if you try to get married as soon as you can. You know, I was 21, it was 22, we got married. The parents said, oh, why are we in a hurry? I said, yeah, we are. We are in a hurry. But we know that it was time. It was time for us to do it. If we're old enough to do anything, then we're old enough to get married. All right? So that's the way we look at it. So we thank God for that. And we've had 2 years of courtship anyway. So what's the delay? Why can't we get married? So we thank God. And those who we're going to pray now for those who are seeking life partner or who are on the verge of marriage. Who has said, Lord, should I continue with this? Should I go with this woman or should I go with this man? Lord, help me. Direct me. Show me. Even as you have shown these people, we have had testimonies of many couples that are coming here and say, the Lord showed them. The Lord helped them. You can help me too. Lord, I'm putting this before you. Help me. Let us pray for them. Father in heaven, we just want to pray for singles that are looking to you for help, that are saying, Lord, teach me, help me, show me the way. You say, I will guide you with my eyes. Guide them, Lord, with your eyes. Let them know their person that you have for them. Help them to go into the right relationship, to marry right, so that they don't regret it for the rest of their lives. We pray for them, O Lord. Teach them. Go before them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for praying. We want to thank God for the Olumides as they are doing their wedding right now. They started yesterday with traditional They've done the court wedding, and I believe they're doing the church wedding or whatever it is today. So we thank God. This man has waited for a long time. Now he's now taking his wife. We thank God for Kende and his wife as they take the journey. We pray the Lord will guide them and guide them through everything that is on the way, that the Lord will give them a successful marriage. Amen. God bless you all. I will mute you and turn it over to Pastor. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. First of all, thank you, Lady Ebon. I want to thank Brother Charles and Sister Julia. I thought you could have gone a little longer. It was just, you know, I knew you said you had to leave at a certain time for the food pantry. But as far as I was concerned, you know, you had the whole flow. But there were powerful, powerful shares that you, when you were sharing your story. I picked up a few things that I just want to bring out of the some of the things that were said and shared. When Brother Charles was speaking at first, you know, I picked up something that he learned, you know, to listen to his wife. Even before he told us that the Lord told him that at times you have to listen to your wife, he told us the, he gave us the share. It's a part of his story. When the wife said, well, you know, I mean, this was even before they got married. Well, I don't know about this drama thing. And I was laughing so hard. You know, I said, well, I don't know about that. Maybe you should do this and that. But he was humble enough. See, this is what I picked up. You know, so although later he said, well, there were some things he was stubborn and so forth. But that one, even at the beginning, he yielded. You know, yielded to the woman. The woman gave an idea, said, look, I don't know, why don't you try this one? I've spoken to some people, try this, try that. And by his own words, you know, by his own admission, when he actually did that, it opened the door for a lot of blessings. And then he pointed out repeatedly that his wife was gifted in certain areas, and he had learned over the years to yield to her a gifting in those areas. And, you know, couples are like that too. You find one that may be better in one area than the other. And it doesn't necessarily matter. I mean, we're a team. You know, we got to work together. I remember, you know, even the progress that we make in life. You know, the blessing of the Lord, it must come with you two working together. I remember all my children, when they were getting married, I pray over them, tell them, the Lord's going to bless you, but it's got to be together. You know, I mean, you're working together. It's not this one on his own, that one on his own. No, you are now together as a team, and you got to discover, that purpose together. Another thing that I picked up, you know, in their shares. This one again from Sister Julia was about, you know, the forgiveness aspect. Always ready to be quick to forgive, and you know how playfully sometimes you have to tease the other person, you know, to bring them around and so forth. Yeah, and that's what marriage is all about. I don't care how many years you've been married. You're always going to have these things. You know, this July, by the grace of God, Lady Ebon and I will be celebrating 50 years. That's right. You heard it right. 50 years of our marriage. But we're still learning many things. One of the things I am still learning, and Brother Charles, I picked that up from him as well. You know, and this is one area that my wife is always wanting me to improve on. And Brother Charles was doing a good job at it. I learned that Brother Charles is a good listener. Well, that's an area that I'm still working on after many of these years. And that's something my wife had to deal with. You know, you have to deal with many things. Okay. My mind is always working like a computer, sometimes even faster than a computer. I don't know whether that's good or bad, but that's the way it is. So I'm having to deal with that. You know, when somebody is speaking, you know, I'm already processing so many things before they even finished. You know, so I'm still learning that. And I learned that, I heard that from, you know, Brother Charles. And that's a good thing. You know, I also heard from Sister Julia that, you know, even though she has good ideas at times, you know, she still has to defer to her husband if the man says no. And I heard from the man that, you know, even when he says no, sometimes he'll come around because the Lord's telling you, look, you need to listen to your wife. So you see, it's a give and take thing, you know, it's give and take. You can't always be obstinate about your own way. You can't say, well, I'm the man, it's going to always be like this. No, I'm the, even in the, you know, they talk about roles. So another thing I picked up, roles, different, you know, roles and so forth. Roles and responsibilities. We did that topic one time on our marriage and family platform on this clubhouse. We'll probably do it again some other time. You know, everybody will know their role, everybody have their responsibilities, but it's shared roles and responsibilities. I don't believe that marriage is 50-50. I believe that marriage is 100-100. You know, so it's not, you know, you take this and that's it, and I take this and that's it. No, you know, I believe it's 100-100. Just like the difference between joint heirs and co-heirs. You know, Bible says we are joint heirs with Christ. That's 100-100. Co-heirs is, you know, you split it however many ways that there are, you know, people. But joint heirs is you own everything and the other person owns everything too. And the same thing with joint responsibilities in marriage. Yeah, there are some designated, you know, primaries in different areas, but, you know, it's a joint responsibility. You know, you may be primary, then I'm the backup in that area. And if primary is weak, your backup steps in there. And, you may be, you know, and we do the same things even in other areas of life, you know, so I picked up, you know, quite a few things there today. And then they talked about, you know, family. I'm just summarizing all the things here. They talked about family also. And I love what they said about the parents, must show a united front to the children. You can't let the children get, you know, learn how to manipulate. And children will do that, I guarantee you. Especially in their early teenage years, they will always do that. You know, we've raised many children. We went through that. You know, everybody goes through that. They will try to figure something out, how to make mom say yes when dad said no, or something or around that. You know, so another thing I picked up from them, powerful, was the family altar. So Julia said, there's not a day that goes by that we don't pray together. My goodness, that is so powerful. And, you know, that's the way that we raised our family too. And I learned that actually from my dad growing up in his family. You know, that's the way it was, you know, and that was one good thing I brought along with me. That's something I learned. And so praying together, that was a good thing. Another thing they talked about is, you know, communication and, you know, quick resolution to issues. Sister Julia, you know, said, don't let your anger go to the next day. And they always try to figure it out. She would at times say, and I was laughing, you know, she said, are we going to go out angry? And the man said, no, I don't want to talk to you. And then she would say, okay, well, you know, another time she said, well, I've cooked something, maybe something you realize. She said, no, I don't want to eat. And she goes over there and tickle him. And so for the next thing, they're laughing together. See, this is real life. And that's just the way it is. You know, if any one of us comes out here and tells you that, oh, you know, everything's all like that, rosy and everything, you know they were lying. You know, that's not the way it is. There's always issues, arguments. But the thing is, the good thing is, you know, you begin to understand each other. You learn how to resolve this thing quickly. You know, in our early years, we used to have, you know, bitter quarrels that would last long, you know, especially me like that, you know. You know, if I don't want to talk to you, I don't want to talk to you. But today, I mean, these days, I mean, not just today, in recent years, I don't even remember when we had a quarrel that lasted, you know, hours. It just, we may have a disagreement, you know, and we fix it. And, you know, they talked about arguments and so forth, you know. So, I love a good debate, it's taken me years to let my wife know that, you know, I just love a good debate. Doesn't mean that, you know, I'm arguing for fights. I just love a good debate. That's just who I am. You know, and, sometimes like, you know, well, I just like a good debate. I debate the thing out, you know, and so forth. Doesn't mean that I'm angry just because I don't agree. And I don't have to agree to everything just because you said so, you know. But at the end of the day, and I will see reason, and I take it like that. There are some arguments that are really fights. In my mind, not every argument's a fight. Sometimes it's just a debate, and sometimes she said, well, you should have been a lawyer. I said, well, maybe. Because, you know, I just love that. But we've learned over the years to, you know, accommodate each other. In honor preferring one another, I think it was Brother Charles that said that. That's a powerful, powerful thing. And I think the other thing he said that was so powerful was I don't know the language he used for it, but I thought of it as kindness, you know, always, you know, doing one thing, sacrificial. I think they talk about sacrifice, always doing one thing, or the other for the other person. And the life of sacrifice that Brother Charles gave for his family, he talked about it, his wife talked even more about it, you know, how he sacrificed everything. And there's so many people like that. Some men do, some women do. They sacrifice their careers, you know, for their family. My wife, she did at one time, you know. I was traveling as a consultant, you know, and she was home with the little kids, and I was only home on weekends. And then at one time she said, well, this is not working. I got to stay with the kids. And she gave up. You know, she gave up the job then, go stay with the kids. And I said, you know, that's fine. You know, I think I can earn enough money for both of us. You do that and so on. I mean, and all, you know, planning. And I love the other thing they said. I'm going to round this up quickly so that we can let Brother Charles and Sister Julia go. But I love one thing they said about their recent timeout on their anniversary date, that they went and they took inventory. And they said, well, you know, Sister Julia said it first, you know, hey, so tell me, what are the things that you've really enjoyed over the years? And he listed a whole bunch. Okay. What are the things that are not working that you would like to see improved? I think he listed very, very few. Because most things are working. And that's a good thing. Plus signs are a whole lot more than the minus signs, you know, and that's a good thing. And then they reversed the roles, and he did the same thing, and, you know, asked her the same questions and so forth. And hopefully the pluses in our lives are a whole lot more than the minuses. And, you know, count your blessings for the pluses, you know, and then, you know, see what you can do. And if we are truly, Lady Evan talked about intentional. Well, you got to be truly intentional in fixing the things that, you know, that can be fixed. Things that are difficult to fix, keep working on it. Don't give up and say, well, I can't do that. You know, well, why not? You know, so, you know, we keep working on it, you know, and God will keep helping us. And, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a powerful, powerful, time together. Again, I want to thank Brother Charles and Sister Julia Idemudia. Congratulations on your 31st, anniversary, and the years are many, plenty still ahead for you to enjoy together. You've laid a good foundation, and we heard about foundation. Christ was the corner piece of that foundation, and they met in church, and they built their life around that. They're guided by the principles of the Bible. And this is also a Christian platform. You know, we're Bible based here. We're not teaching psychology and stuff here, you know. And so if anybody doesn't want to hear it, they don't need to be here. But this is this is the gospel, that we follow. and everything in the Bible, even the instructions that are given by the Bible, is what, those are the things we follow even for our lives, marriage, family, and etc. So I want to also take a moment or two to pray for Brother Charles and Sister Julia for their time that they have shared with us, and also for the years ahead of them, and for their lovely daughters, you know, and God has blessed them with two, turned later to three, and then two grandsons, and so on. It's just an amazing, they're just an amazing family. So let's take prayer for them. Open your mouth and just pray for them.
And we celebrate you, Brother Charles and Sister Julia. Thank you for all you do. I mean, they are a power couple, an example even in the church. Now, it's not too many married couples in our family, in our church, that do things together in the church, minister together in the church. They are one such couple. And that's one reason why they must leave early today. They go together to walk in the, in our food pantry, which opens to the public in a couple of hours, but they got to go and make some prep. And they are there every weekend together, unless when Julia is at school for an exam or this and that. They walk together like that. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's nice that they have to leave at a certain time, and I knew it too. So thank you so much, Brother Charles and Sister Julia, for your presentations to us today. Praise the Lord. Have a blessed day as you go. We love you, we appreciate, and we celebrate you. Thanks for sharing. At this point in time, I am going to yield the room over to reactions to what you've heard. Unfortunately, they cannot take questions and answers right now. Brother Charles said they had to leave to get ready. But, you know, at least your reactions. If you do have questions, well, maybe they'll take them later, some other time. But they've got to go get ready to go to that other activity they have. But we'd love to take your reactions on what you've heard from this power couple that have shared their story after 31 years and still counting. So good morning and welcome everybody to you. Go ahead if you would like to say something on what you've heard.
Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Wow. Thank God for this powerful couple. It is an honor and privilege to be part of their journey as well, to witness the marriage in 1995. It is an honor and privilege to be part of what God started, what He's doing, and what is yet to unfold, because He has already completed it though, but there are other things that He's going to unfold in their lives. We are so grateful to the Almighty God for all that He has taught them, all they have been through, all the graces that is upon them, His mercy, His manifold grace. Father, we are so grateful. It can only be you. Thank you for making them an example of believers, even in marriage. We appreciate you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Yeah, I'm grateful to God to witness the faithfulness of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord and the Demodias family. Ah, Jesus, it is your doing. I just want to say something that, okay, when God says, when God is in something, you can go to bed, you can rest assured that indeed it will perfect it, right? He's instituted the marriage. And one thing I learned from what Sister Julia said, she prayed, she sought the face of the Lord. Bible said David inquired from the Lord. It is important to inquire of the Lord before we make a move, particularly in marriage. Because it's a journey. Daddy alluded to it. We just know today. We don't even know the next minute. We don't even know tomorrow, but he has about tomorrow in his hands. And because she inquired of the Lord, she did not lean on her own understanding as to regards to who to marry, even though there were so many people that were coming around, but she waited on the Lord until the Lord gave her the go ahead, even when she even tested it, that if it is this man, to be doubled up super sure, let him come to our house today. And indeed, you know, the God that we serve, like what he did in the life of Gideon, when Gideon was doubting, not because she was doubting, she just wanted to be double sure, because she thought in her heart, I don't want to get it wrong. I don't want to miss things about marriage. I don't even want to make any mistake. I'd rather not marry than to go and marry wrong person. Right? So she inquired of the Lord, and she wanted to be super, super sure. And she heard from the Lord. And what the test she wanted God to prove, the evidence she wanted was for brothers to come to their house on that particular day. And guess what happened? The Lord ordered the steps of his servant to come on that day to reassure his daughter that indeed it is his doing. And we can see, we can attest to it today, that indeed it is the Lord's doing, and it's indeed marvelous in our hearts. Of course, they run through it through. Of course, they lean over the world, but the Lord God Almighty, who started it, who is the firm foundation, my goodness, has been there through thick and thin. So they are still standing only because the Lord has made a way, only because his hand is in it. So when God sends you an errand, he will definitely, or will sure, guide you, be there for you, strengthen you, reassure your heart, and ensure that you get to your destination. And I want to encourage as many. Not I'm there yet, so far from it. It is just the grace of God for me too. But I want to reassure as many that this God that we serve, because the chapter that Daddy read when we were about to start, Ephesians chapter number 5, the Lord was actually typifying the physical marriage to compare with the real marriage. My goodness. The real marriage of the Lamb, where the King of Glory is going to give bride, we his bride, and will forever be with him. We can only imagine how that day will be. It's going to be wonderful. So it is this physical one is actually typifying the real one, the real marriage of the Lamb. And we thank God. And also we are praying that God will give us the grace to be faithful. It is accounted unto the steward to be faithful. We saw so many things in this marriage of the testimony, sacrifices that my brother Charles made. And my sister alluded to it. She testified of the sacrifice. The marriage is about sacrifice. It's about communication. We saw how they were communicating about this and that and that and that and that, and not leaving anything behind on the carpet on discourse. So let's learn from that. If anything is hurting you, call your spouse. I should call my spouse and say, you know what? Let's talk about this. So communication is very, very important in marriage. We saw the act of forgiveness. How they forgave each other, not allowing the person to even say sorry. She said she found it in her heart. So always think of finding excuses for him to say, oh, maybe he didn't mean it this way. Maybe it wasn't intentional. Maybe he was tired. Maybe he said it out of whatever. Just to forgive, right? So it is important to forgive each other, because there is no way we will not hurt each other. Because we have different backgrounds. I'm a Yoruba, my husband is Edo. She's Yoruba, our husband is from the East as well. So we have different background, different layout, different whatever. But God is still God. He's still one spirit. The spirit of God that is inside of Pastor Charles is still the one that is inside my darling sister Julie. Right. So, and the spirit of God is such that he loves her, he loves him. So he has your best interest at heart. He has his best interest at heart. So he's not pulling anybody down to say, oh, when a man submits, it's a mutual, submission is actually mutual. In other words, there are things that even coming together to have, to reprocreate is by submission. If you don't, if I don't submit to you, you can't even come into me, right? So a submission for me, it's me to submit to my husband, and there are things you need to agree with me as well. So man has to agree with the wife. Two can work together unless they agree. So there must be a mutual agreement in things pertaining to God, in terms of pertaining to his work. And for me, particularly now, my own personal share is this. The purpose of marriage for me that God gave me an understanding is particularly for his kingdom. And you can see the power couple now are going to do, they're going to share food. They're going to do the work of God. They go for evangelism together. They pray together. So that then the Lord is being glorified. So, The fact that we love each other, we thank God for that, for every other advantage of it, but the Lord himself has the dividends of your marriage. The Lord himself has the benefit of it, because you know what? He's a businessman. He brought, like Sister Judah said, that somebody, one spouse might be quiet and the other person might be talkative. I was like laughing when she said that. Yeah. Same here, my dear too. Right, but there is something in her that God knew. He puts it before the foundation of the world for the furtherance of his kingdom. There's something in Brother Charles that God puts in him before the foundation of the world for the benefit of the kingdom of God. Through prosperity shall his kingdom must be established and multiply. So by his predeterminate counsel, he brought these two synergistic, powerful couple, Pastor Yaro, his wife. You can look at how they synchronize, how they, you know, support each other, right? He brought you and your husband together. So you have that understanding that your husband, my husband, that what God has in mind for bringing you together is for his kingdom. Mommy's alluded to something that was very powerful. When she said, we can't compare our marriage with each other. No, it will be a greatest mistake. Do not compare your marriage with Brother Charles and Sister Julie. No. That would not be wise. Because Bible says, either compare himself with another is not wise. However, we have things to learn from them, right? We have things to learn from Pastor Yaro. Your marriage is unique. Just ask the Lord the uniqueness of your marriage and what God has intention. What is his purpose for your marriage? And continue to do what God has allowed you to do for the furtherance of his kingdom. So it is important for us to know that we are unique before the Lord. We are special. We are a peculiar generation, a royal priesthood. God has a plan for you, is mindful of you, and he has a purpose for your marriage. So be encouraged and don't put yourself down. Don't look down on yourself and don't think, oh, no, you have been forgotten. You haven't. Even though there's still mistakes, we are not there yet. God is with us. We are working progress. We're trusting him to perfect all that concerns us, as his word has said. So let's continue to press in. Let's continue to work together. Let's continue to communicate, to forgive each other, to love each other more. Love is paramount. Loving each other. Let's not look at our weaknesses. I use a SWOT analysis, SWOT, which means SWOT. Every couple has their strengths. Every couple has their weaknesses. Every couple has their threat, and every couple has opportunity. So let us embrace the strength that we have together. Let us not mind the weakness of the other person. If you look into my weakness, you will not want to live with me. If I look into your weakness, I will not want to live with you because we are not there yet. Right? But there are threats. There are things that threaten marriage. There are things that threaten us, whether it's financial, whether it's situation, and whether there's opportunity around you, opportunity upon in your marriage, opportunity where you live, opportunity that God has given to you. So we use this SWOT analysis to analyze ourselves and say, we've got a strength. Your marriage has got a strength. You can't tell me that there is no strength in your marriage. No, I will not believe you, because I know that this God is faithful. There's something unique about your marriage. There's something unique about my marriage. We thank God for that. However, there are weaknesses. Like they say, they are not there. When they analyze, when they appraise themselves during their recent celebration, they were asking, what is it that is working? Let's continue with what is working. What is it that we need to change or improve or, you know, tweak in one into different direction? And they analyze it and they're going to be working in it. So that is it. So let's work on our weaknesses. And whatever is stretching us, let's pray about it. Let us pray. Let us, the one thing we learn about them, they say there is no day that they don't pray together. We too, sometimes we don't because of duty, but intentionally, because that should be intentionally, you have to cultivate that habit of praying. We're praying for the children. We're praying. Yeah. And the last before I use my mic is that there is a SWOT opportunity that we have. We have opportunities. Let's embrace those opportunities. Most importantly, let us continue to decree the word of God. You know, because the enemy itself does not want anybody's marriage to work, believe you me. But thanks be to God, who makes us to triumph always. Thanks be to God for the opportunity to be able to pray. Prayer is a gift to talk about God and think things through the word of God. Saying, Lord, this is what your word says. And I'm not going to take anything less than what your word says, and we continue to declare it, the word of God, declare it, to change the situation of the children, to change the situation of our finances, to change the situation of the work that God has committed into your hands. We continue to pray for your marriage. So we thank God for this share, and I will meet myself. Thank you so much, Daddy. Thank you so much for this platform that you have created. It is so super important that we need to be hearing this to encourage ourselves and to learn from each other. I'm learning, and I'm happy to take what I've learned on board as well to communicate more than before. Thank you so much, and I yield my mic. Thank you. Thank you for the couple as well. Wedding, happy wedding anniversary, and we thank God for today's wedding that is ongoing. And we thank God because the Spirit of God is there to give them a happy home and give them a godly home where His Spirit dwells in Jesus' name. And as many that are having one challenges or the other in their marriage, we speak peace of the Lord in your marriage. We speak blessing of the Lord. We speak understanding. We speak joy to be restored, love to be restored. Everything that's been stolen by the enemy will restore it back to you in sevenfold. Bible says, "It that stole one must restore sevenfold." So whatever the enemy has stolen concerning our marriage, we go back to the enemy's camp. We bind them. We take what belongs to us in the name of Jesus. We pursue. We overtake. We recover all. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, gracious Lord. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Daddy, mommy, over to you, sir. Over to you, ma'am.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Statue Silayo. Beautiful, beautiful share. Thank you so much. I just like it when you, maybe one of these days, you and your husband, if you would take the challenge, you come and talk in one of these our rooms too concerning. You've been married for 33 years now, I think. How many years?
32.
Okay. So yeah, we'd like to hear from you. I know you guys are doing well too. I believe so. As long as you are in the Lord, you are doing well. That's what matters. Amen. So God bless you. We thank God for your shares and for all the things you've done. And for the beautiful children you are raising, we thank God for them. Yes. All right. So thank you, everyone, again for being here. It's been wonderful. I think somebody wants to speak. Zabaraka, yes, you've been here all day. You are listening to all
before,
this.
Before she goes... I want to let me just quickly say that something is going on here. I don't know. Thanks again, Sister Titi Layo.
I gotta turn off
this thing here. Hold, give me 1 second. Sister Barakat, you go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. I know Sister Julia and Brother Charles are no longer here. But when they listen to the replay, I just want to say thank you. It was a blessing this morning to be able to join in and hear their testimony. It's an encouragement to see or to hear that, you know, these long marriages, not perfect, but God is continually taking them from glory to glory. So I just want to thank you for that testimony to Sister Julia and Brother Charles. You both are extremely hilarious. Thank you so much. I was laughing through most of it. The things that you experience are relatable. Same thing in my marriage too. So I just want to say thank you. And I just wanted to share, you know, I wanted to make a comment. I think at one point, Sister Julia, I wasn't really listening. I was with my kids, but I think she made a comment about, you know, your marriage is your first ministry and, you know, how can you even serve in church if your house is falling apart? And I just wanted to just say my own kind of thoughts on that, what has been shared with me and what the Lord has shared with me, and that, you know, your first ministry or your first marriage is actually to the Lord. In Isaiah 54, verse 5, it says, "For the Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He's called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says the Lord. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer." My own quick testimony, I wasn't raised as a Christian. So definitely when I got married, I idolized my marriage. Everything was kind of like, oh, well, my marriage is not going well, so nothing is going well. And then when I found the Lord, it was really only when I realized that, oh, actually, you know, things can go terribly in this marriage, but I still have the Lord. That's when I started to find peace. That's when I started to change myself and realize that, oh, actually, my husband is not my first ministry. It's actually the Lord. We've seen in this room, we've had many examples that, you know, your spouse can die. Your spouse can pass away. You can get divorced. And if your first ministry is to your marriage, then when your spouse leaves, either, you know, in divorce or in death, then where's your ministry towards? So the Lord was really dealing with me about that. In fact, when my marriage was going terribly, I kept bringing it to the Lord. And even recently, and, you know, the word that I got back was, go back and do the things that you once did. You know, return to your first love. When in your marriage, before your marriage, Lord called you. He to serve him. Everybody has a different calling from the Lord. Everybody has a different kind of service that the Lord wants them to do. And once you get married, he doesn't expect that to stop. He doesn't expect that all your attention goes to your marriage, to your spouse, to your children. In fact, Jesus said, "Don't you know I'm about my Father's business?" The Lord expects us to be about his business first and everything. I just wanted to share Paul's reading. As I was thinking about this while you were talking, I was like, I know Paul talked about this. I just wanted to go to 1 Corinthians 7 and start at verse 17. So in the first part of 1 Corinthians 7, he's talking about marriage. He's talking about, you know, God's feeling about divorce. I've actually shared this verse before for myself, verse 16. "For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you'll save your wife?" And about don't separate, you know, from your, or what the Lord feels about divorce. But really what I was reading today was verse 17 down to 24. And it says, "Live as you are called." It says, "But God has distributed to each one as a Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordained in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not be uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You are bought at a price. Do not become slaves as men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called." So I just wanted to share that in terms of marriage, that your first ministry is actually to the Lord. The Lord is your first husband. That's your first marriage. That should be where all your effort is. Nothing can be, you know, earthly marriages fall apart. Our spouses, you know, pass on. I've seen that in my own family recently. But those who are strong in the Lord, those whose first ministry in the Lord is in the Lord, will not be shaken. The Lord expects us to but to do the things that he first called us to do. When we put anything above God, when we make anything an idol, God will not be in that thing. So I just wanted to share that. And I'll yom emek. God bless you.
Amen. Sorry, I didn't realize my mic was open. I wasn't intending to, you know, indicate anything, but my mic being open, I didn't realize it was open. Thank you, Sister Barakat, for sharing. Yes, you make a good point. And I think Brother Charles and Sister Julia, they laid that out at the beginning. They said Christ was the foundation. They started in Christ, and that was their foundation. They themselves even met, you know, in Christian circles. They met in the fellowship or at church or something. And they put that one out there, so I know they meant that. I think what Sister Julia was saying was that, look, basically, just take it this way, is like, you can't be out there, you know, trying to fix everybody at church when you don't spend time to fix your own family. I think that's all they were saying. I don't think they were saying, you know, put it ahead of the Lord. But what you said is true. The Lord has to be number one in our lives. You know, many things will fall apart that we put ahead of the Lord. Anything that we put ahead of the Lord, our careers. Well, for people who are outside the kingdom, you know, they live by different rules. They may not care about God and they may be doing things. But those of us who are in the kingdom, we must live by kingdom rules. Jesus said, he that would love father or mother or anybody above me is not worthy of me. You can't love your wife or husband or your children or your career or anything above the Lord. The Lord must be first. And Stabarakat's made a good point on, look, anything that can fall apart, people lose their spouses, unfortunately. We don't hope or pray or look forward to that, but it does happen. And some people, they get divorced, whether rightly so or wrongly so. But the Lord is always constantly there for us. And Jesus must be our first love, actually. Even if you were married before you came to the Lord still has to become number one in our lives. Yeah, he would not, you know, share that position with anybody else. And what God wants to offer us is that himself, the relationship with himself. You know, we've talked about this on this platform multiple times, of the offer that the Lord presented to Abraham and how Abraham responded. You know, so in Genesis chapter 15, we see what the Lord said to Abraham, you know, and, you know, he said, look, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. And in that conversation and revelation of God to Abraham, God wanted himself, God, to be all that Abraham would ever need. That's right. You know, Abraham didn't quite see it like that because his response was, but I don't have a child, you know. So the child at that point in time, you know, was uppermost in Abraham's heart, even though God was offering Abraham God himself, you know, I am thy exceeding great reward. So if we, you know, have that perspective in life, let God be all. Let him be number one. That's really what Sister Barakat is saying. Let him be number one in our lives and nothing else after him or before him or whatever is number one. And I believe, believe in my heart, someday when I meet Abraham, I ask him about it. we don't know why it took 25 years. You know, I know God used that to teach us lessons of perseverance and hanging in there, but, you know, maybe it would have taken a whole lot less. if he had, you know, understood what God was saying. You know, when God is offering you himself, what else do you need? you need God. And that's what we need in our lives. You know, what, number one, we must have God in our lives as front and center, the core of our lives. That's what's going to give us that strong foundation that Sister Julia and Brother Charles talked about. They chose, you know, to put their faith in the Lord, and they built their lives upon that foundation. You know, and Matthew 7:24, I think it was Brother Charles that quoted that, or Sister Julia, one of them. You know, that, you know, you built your house on the rock, and those things that come against it cannot take it down because it has a solid foundation. So if you build your, and this again is another word for marriage. If you build your joy on your spouse, you know, you can't do that. You know, most people, they won't be happy unless they're happy with their spouse. You know, the joy of the Lord must be with you. Yes, we want to have happy marriage and happy life and happy this and happy that. But God has got to be number one in our lives. Your husband or your wife cannot be your all in all. Can't do it. You know, and sometimes people put that responsibility upon their spouse. They cannot do it. They're just human being like you. You know, and you need to be praying for them, for God to help them to be the person that God wants them to be in that marriage. But they can't be, you know, without God's help. And God is the one that is all in all, you know, and, you know, we need to look to him as number one in our lives. So while we must do everything we can to nourish our marriages, we must realize that it's really, you know, the Lord that we must depend 100% upon. And it is also true that don't be out there, you know, people say, you know, charity begins at home, you know, don't be out there fixing everybody else when you don't take time to fix your marriage. I think that's what they were talking about. And sadly, even fix our families, not just marriage. A lot of people who are active in ministry, they do it to the neglect of their own families. And God's not happy about that. You know, so, you know, if I'm a preacher and I'm a pastor and I'm not a priest in my home, God's not happy about that. You know, I need to bring up that altar in my home, you know, and, you know, that's where, I mean, even God recognized that in the, you know, in the Jewish custom when they were married and there was a call for war and so forth, he would say, look, let the young man who has just married a wife, you know, give him one year off. Go and spend time with his wife and start a family before you send him to war. So God knows that that is important. And put it all in perspective. Here is the balance of it all. Number one, God must be the foundation. Our relationship with God must be the foundation. The corner piece of our lives is Jesus Christ himself. As a believer, that's it. That's what's going to hold everything together. Now, whatever you build on top of that, you build your career, you build your family, you build your marriage or family upon that. Well, you know, they will stand if it's built on the right foundation. You know, that's what Jesus said. And the same lesson we learned from what Sister Barakat is saying. Those things may fall apart, but the foundation, if it is, you know, founded in the Lord, will stay. But God doesn't want anything to fall apart. In fact, God doesn't want our marriages to fall apart. And we can prevent it from falling apart by making sure it's built on a solid foundation. And do not neglect your family. If you say I'm out in ministry or I'm out in my career, many marriages are broken up because one spouse didn't have time or give enough time to the other. Also, you know, not enough patience on the other side too. But, you know, we got to be present. To be present, people have said that. You got to be there, too, for your family. I know sometimes, you know, we have to be away and so forth, but there has to be time committed to building that relationship. Just the same way that we build our relationship with God. If you don't spend time with God, how are you going to have that relationship? Don't spend time with your spouse, how are you going to build that relationship? So let's put it all together and let's put it in balance. Thank you, Sister Barakat, for a beautiful, beautiful share. And we thank God for your testimony too. You know, the Lord's been helping you and your marriage. I'm talking about marriage and family. Well, I did post this link at the top for our September to remember event. This one is right here. It's just save the date. This weekend, by the grace of God, we will be opening the event up in Eventbrite. And you can begin to register. Early registration is being taken at first, just intent for you to attend. More details will be coming as we get it all figured out. But one, we will be dedicating one day during that weekend, and that September to remember event, to marriage and family. So you don't want to miss it. You know, Lady Ebo and myself also will be sharing more of our story during that time. So a lot of things that we'll do around that. And that's, you know, but, you know, the rest of the time, we're going to have a beautiful, beautiful time. So we encourage you to try to attend. Just think about us spending, you know, time together. I mean, we spend a couple hours every day together here. Saturdays, maybe a little longer. But imagine if we can spend the whole day together, mingled, of course, with, you know, breaks and other activities and so forth. But, you know, imagine if we can just have time together. Like that. Wouldn't that be beautiful? It's a beautiful, beautiful fellowship to look forward to. And we're praying about it, you know, and the Lord's already given me some series that I want to share during that time. And so we encourage you to try to be there. Will it supersede or replace our morning fellowship? No, we'll be in addition to that. This platform, while it remains, continues to be our place of daily fellowship. You know, but once in a while, it's good to have that in person, you know, underground fellowship as well. So we invite you to put it in prayers and see if you can be there and start to make plans. And if you are going to be there, we want you to be there, you know, which means, you know, if you can take time out to really be there, where we're going to be together, that would be great. So yes, you are thinking about it, think about that as well. That being said, before I go on to, anything else, I want us to take prayer for the September to Remember event. It will be happening in Phoenix, Arizona, by the grace of God, on in the first week of September, September 3rd through 6th. We've chosen, those days that precede the Labor Day weekend. So there's an extra day there for people to relax and get back. And even if people are coming in from elsewhere, you know, you can get back and so forth. Labor Day, Monday is there as well. The event will finish on this Sunday, and then you have that one extra day. So I want us to take prayer for that right now. If you would like to join us in prayer, please open your mic and just pray for that event. We're looking and believing God for a mighty, mighty, mighty visitation and experience together in fellowship. Prayer in Jesus' name. And I want to take one or two persons, take about 2 or 3 minutes, open your voice and pray for that event, and we'll all agree together. One person to lead and then another person right after them. 2 or 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. Father God, we appreciate you. We thank you so very much for your faithfulness in our midst. We give you glory and honor and power and majesty, O God, for September to remember the first of its kind that is coming up in this September. We hand it over to your gracious hands, sweet Holy Spirit, that you go and take preeminence. You take it over our hands. We commit Pastor Yaro into your powerful hands, O God, that you will give him utterance, God. He will speak as your oracle, my Father. You will give him teaching anointing, O God, in Jesus' name, God. And your understanding will take hold of us in Jesus, my Father. Lord, you will give, Lord, room to us men that I want to come, O God. You make it possible, God. The logistics, the traveling, you give us traveling mercy in the name of Jesus, O God. Everything will be so beautiful in Jesus' name, O God, because in your own time, you make all things beautiful. Lord, we will all remember this September, O God, for good in the name of Jesus. And there will be many more of it, O God, in different cities, in different nations, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, O God, for your work will prosper in our hands, O God. Thank you, Father, for your excellent Spirit of God will be upon us, O God, in the name of Jesus, O God. We give you praise, Holy Spirit of God. We thank you for teaching and anointing. In the name of Jesus, be multiplied. Grace be multiplied unto your servants, O God. In the name of Jesus, O God. All that we needed, your hands has provided. The finances, the logistics, everything, the traveling mercy, we hand it over to you that it will be beautiful. In the name of Jesus, your glory shall be revealed and all eyes will see it. To the glory and honor of your name. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit, for what it is you want to do. We agree with you, God. This has been foreknown even before the foundation of the world. So we bring it to bear, Kasotaha, on this planet Earth. In the name of Jesus, that people will hear of it and will be partaker of it as well. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. We give you glory, O God. So mightily grow your word and prevail through us, O God. Blessed be your name forever. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. We lift up the special gathering being planned by Pastor Yaro, Lady Aban, and others, a September to remember. We ask that your hand rest upon every detail, every plan, every invitation, and every heart connected to this divine assignment. Lord, let this be more than an event. Let it be a holy visitation. Let the walking with God family and others come together in unity, love, and expectation. As they converge in Phoenix, prepare the atmosphere, prepare the people, prepare the place for your glory to be revealed. And Father, grant traveling mercies to all who will attend. Keep them safe by air, land, and road. Provide every financial need, every lodging needed, and every resource needed for this gathering to succeed. Open doors no man can shut and make every crooked place straight. And we pray for fresh anointing upon Pastor Yaro and every speaker, leader, servant, and volunteer. Let the word go forth with power. Let healing flow, chains break, hearts be restored, minds renewed, and lives transformed. Let those who are weary be refreshed, those who are seeking be filled, and those who are bound be set free. And Lord, let divine connections be made, testimonies be birthed, and faith be strengthened. Let this truly become a September to remember, because your presence will meet everyone there, and we cancel every assignment of confusion, delay, distraction, opposition, or division. And we decree peace, excellence, favor, overflow, and supernatural success over this event. May all glory, honor, and praise belong to you alone, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Titilayo and Sister Renita, for those powerful prayers. You know, the more that we all pray for this event, you know, and we're going to be doing it every time we get in, on this platform daily, you know, we got to remember, even if it's just 2 or 3 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes, and then on your own also pray. The more you invest into it, your time and everything, the more your heart will be in it. And God is looking for hearts that he will really pour into. And, you know, and that has been prayed, you know, we are trusting God that it will be more than, you know, just an event. You know, it's going to be something that we will experience from the Lord. We're trusting God that he will take us somewhere that we've never been. We're trusting God that he will show us things that we've never seen before. We're trusting God that we will experience, you know, love and fellowship like never before. And we know that God will be glorified. Praise the Lord. So look for more information coming out in the next few days on how you can register for the event. You know, and seats will be limited. So you got to hurry and register. We also want people to tell us that just like they saved the date, we want you also to save your intent. Planning events like this must be based on early information on who's coming, you know, how many people we can expect, you know, what kind of accommodations we can plan. So the early registrations will be important, even though we don't have all the details. And you yourself, you don't have all the details. If you intend to come, God will make a way. Praise the Lord. You just put your heart in it. I mean, I have been speaking about this thing since the beginning of the year. You know, just prophesying it, you know, that, you know, we put together the WWG Productions platform, now registered, that, you know, going to be bringing out events. WWG Productions put out our website. And I said at the time, well, WWG Productions will also be bringing to us events, you know, on the ground and so on. And here it is. I mean, we have to prophesy these things to bring out reality. Jesus said, speak it, don't doubt it. Believe it in your heart, it'll come to pass. Well, so we prophesied it. We believe God, but we've been praying about it for a long time, actually. Just looking for the moving of the Spirit on top of those mulberry trees. Just seeing when the Lord will say, yep. And that we finally have a clear runway to go and take off. Praise the Lord. So we covered your prayers and throughout this whole planning period and so forth, the prayers and so forth. Some people have asked, well, you know, what can we do? You wait and see some of the information that's coming and check our website from time to time. We're going to be putting out, we've already started. There's going to be a page out there on our events page where you can find more information. Also, it'll be on Eventbrite. That will be released for early registrations, like I said, this weekend. So we're out of time now. I want to thank you for your participation in today's room. And those of you who are new to the platform, this is Walking with God. And we are here every day. It's not marriage and family we do every day. Actually, we only do marriage and family once a month. And it's first Saturday of the month. Just so happens to be today. But every day, we're doing some powerful fellowship around the Word of God. We just finished our series of Life in the Spirit. And I don't actually know if it's finished. Well, I thought it was, but if the Lord says differently, well, that's up to Him. But tomorrow is another day by the grace of God. And we will be here again tomorrow and every day, as long as it is called today, as long as the Lord gives us the grace and gives us this platform, well, then we will come together for fellowship. As it is written, the early church said they continued daily in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and all these things every day. So, by the grace of God, we are doing it daily. And look for us also on our website, wwgintl.org. And, you know, Walking with God Productions is also bringing you our YouTube channel. It's called Pastor Yaro on YouTube. And you can also visit that. So many good things where you can enjoy the blessings of the Lord. The YouTube channel will bring you, you know, tidbits and different videos of, you know, sermons that we have released in the past on video. And you will be able to enjoy that as well. Praise the Lord. So, I want to thank you again for joining us today. I pray that you all have a great day. The rest of the day be yours in the Lord to enjoy. Praise the Lord.